episode 466 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode, and today Jesse and I are going to be talking about Ninja K number 10. This issue came out just this last Wednesday, August 15th, so a fair warning, we are going to go in depth. There will be spoilers, so if you haven't had a chance to read it, you may want to go pick it up. Definitely recommend it, and then come back and listen later. So let's start with you, Jesse. What were your overall impressions of the issue? Oh, wait. Actually, before we do that, I probably should give the creative team. Written by Christos Gage. The pencils are by Larry Stroman. We've got inks by Ryan Wynn and colors by Andrew Dollhouse. Jesse, what'd you think?
Okay, so I've made it no secret that I've enjoyed this series. I think that the writing has been outstanding. I think it's, to be honest with you, doing for Ninjak, kind of in many ways what Lemire did for Bloodshot. You know, it's making it grittier, more understandable, kind of complex version of the world around Ninjak. Not to say that, you know, what we've had the past couple of years isn't good. It certainly is. But a lot of times it got away from what Ninjak actually is, you know. And what Ninjak actually is Batman plus James Bond plus Ninja. And adding all this, these additional versions and various ninjas all the way from, you know, World War One till current. Has really done an amazing job of telling a story, and showing the history. Like they've done that in Bloodshot, where they've showed the different variations of Bloodshot. Now they're doing that with Ninjak. This was, just in keeping with that, absolutely. And it was something so far different than the other versions too. Each unique and very compelling in their own way, but I was kind of interested in that and how this is going to be. I saw the artwork solicited a while back, and I was like, "Oh, we're going to get kind of like the '80s action hero kind of ninja." Let's see what's up, you know. And I was pleasantly surprised with the story to a degree.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I've been a big fan of the Ninja K series ever since Christos Gage came on. You know, he's a writer whose work I tend to enjoy. And other than Bloodshot, Ninjak's probably my next favorite character in the Valiant universe. So the fact that they're kind of expanding on his background and enriching the story and getting to tell stories of different ninjas throughout different time periods, like you're saying, not only is it interesting and compelling, but the thing is they can do exactly what you mentioned, right? Like take a certain time period, like the 80s, and just dial it up to 11, right? Like take every kind of trope and stereotype from the 80s, you know, from the Mad Max inspired cover to almost a War Machine like, ninja here. And it's great. They get to make something that's very much of its time. I really enjoyed it. I will say, I know a lot of people were really excited to see Larry Stroman, who's probably most known for his work on X Factor, kind of come back to the fold. It's been a while since we've seen his art. I'm not a huge Larry Stroman fan per se, but I didn't have any problem with the art, but it didn't blow me away either. So I'll give a quick rundown of the book. As I mentioned, spoilers, but I'm not going to go too in depth because I do want you guys to go out there and read it. So it starts out, we see a couple of people that are basically loading up a warehouse into vans. Because of a quote unquote intelligence breach. And while they're emptying out this warehouse, they see a suspended animation tube or a pod that's empty. And they freak out. Oh God, he's out. And sure enough, behind them is a ninja who runs his huge sword through the chest of one of them, incapacitates the other. We see him take one of their devices and basically interface with it. It's clear that he's, part man, part machine. And it's interesting. We get some like text boxes that seem to indicate that there's some kind of artificial intelligence that this ninja interacts with and interfaces with. So through those boxes, we see that He's assuming that MI6 has been compromised and his mission must be to escape and then eliminate MI6 because it is now an enemy of the crown, so to speak. And while he's doing this, he gets shot. There's an armored vehicle that shows up. He manages to generate a shield, and the human parts of him are telling them to run and apologizing while the supposed artificial intelligence deploys the shoulder cannon and basically blows up the armored transport. So then the scene shifts to the headquarters of MI6, and we see Neville there telling Ninjak that basically because of the cleanup protocols after the incident with Ninja C and the Acclimation Bureau, that there were certain items that were stored in a warehouse in Staffordshire that were potentially dangerous, and they were to be moved, and that included among the stored items Ninja H. And I love Ninjak's response. He's like, "You mean his corpse, or did you have an actual human being in some sort of suspended animation?" And Neville replies, "Yeah, he's alive. Moving him required a reduction in the suspension gas, and apparently he'd built up a resistance. Now he's out. He's killed 6 Crown agents, and I can see you're appalled by what he's done, but as for why, maybe I'll let him tell the story." And then we get kind of a flashback in Ninja H's own words from a video kind of documentary, I guess, that Ninja H himself narrated. So it tells of growing up poor and having a dad that was alcoholic that used to smack him around. His mother died of cancer when he was only 17. So he didn't really have much. He joined the service. Eventually, he was recruited into the ninja program. And he was going up against the IRA. And he got caught in a bomb blast that should have killed a normal person. But because of the healing techniques taught to him by the ninja program, he was able to survive. But all his limbs were gone because no amount of meditation can regenerate limbs, right? So there's a great illustration by Larry Stroman where they basically turn him into more machine than man. He's got like a cybernetic jaw, cybernetic limbs, the cannon that I mentioned before, all these enhancements. And they sent him right back out once he was basically upgraded, for lack of a better word. And he mentions instead he probably was more effective as a weapon of war than any of his previous predecessors, just because he had so much technology, so many weapons and defensive systems. And he was on a mission to Lebanon, and he was so exhausted that from the constant pain that eventually he couldn't necessarily complete the mission because he was worried about the collateral damage. And in that moment, it seemed that his body was basically taken over. He was too far gone to exhaustion, and he felt that it was basically an artificial intelligence that assumed control, and that horrified him. That horrified him. There was basically a computer inside him, an artificial intelligence that overrode his nervous system. And he felt that he was inhuman. He was doing things that went against his conscience with, no soul, no regard for human life, horrible things, all in the name of the mission. And basically, it caused him to have a nervous breakdown. So for that reason, he was put on ice, basically. You would think that kind of an organization with a conscience would have kind of maybe removed some of the weaponry and, just left him with some artificial limbs to try to have a normal life. But, as we've seen in Ninja K, MI6 is kind of portrayed much more ominously than previously in different ninja or ninjak books. So we go to the current time, and Ninja H is basically still trying to follow through with the mission. His assessment is that infiltration has spread throughout MI6, and the conclusion is to destroy and rebuild. So the human part of him is trying to dissuade the computer part of him, saying there's good people, innocent people, can't let this happen. when Ninjak shows up. So there's a fight, and Ninjak doesn't necessarily try, doesn't seem to be trying to disable him. He seems more like he kind of wants to talk. You know, he is kind of holding his own. And what he says is, you are the perfect soldier. And based on the time that you were created, the tech was too primitive to have the kind of artificial intelligence that you're talking about. They didn't have anything that could control human nervous systems back then. And Ninja H realizes, wait, so where does the voice I hear come from? It's actually him. It's actually himself. He basically had a psychotic break. It's like, you know, multiple personality disorder. I think it's called dissociative personality disorder now. He basically created a soulless machine personality within himself that, quote unquote, forced him to do these things. It's what he needed to do in order to keep performing the missions, in order to rationalize it, right? And so once he realizes that, he kind of loses it, and he jumps off the building to his death, supposedly. But, you know, obviously the cybernetic enhancements, the machine part of him keeps him alive, doesn't let him die. But the cleanup crew from MI6 comes, say they'll check for brain damage, look through his machinery. But it's likely that he's still alive. He's like, that's their cleanup crew's like, that's good news, right? Ninja K, and Ninjak doesn't respond. So, he goes back, he's talking to Neville, and he's like, if the brain damage isn't too severe, maybe it can be treated. But if it is, and Neville's response is, you know, that depends on many factors, decision that's above me. I'll push as hard as I can for the most humane possible, you know, resolution. But Ninja K has already moved on. He's like, I'm certain you will, when really he's probably doubting that as a matter of course, and wants news on Gilead. And that's where the issue ends. So, you know, much like Lemire's Bloodshot, you know, we've kind of been comparing the two so far. It does give food for thought. The fact that they took this guy who was devoting his life to service of country and then was, you know, horribly wounded, and they gave him all this tech and put him out there, just like they put all the ninjas out there. But perhaps because he had more advanced technology and the ability to do things beyond any predecessor in the program, he really was in a position to cause more damage, more destruction, more death. And they didn't give him any more resources than they gave anyone else to kind of deal with, you know, the consequences of basically being a killing machine. You know, again, directly can compare that to Bloodshot. And it's not a surprise that, that he would have a break like that. And eventually kind of invent a, you know, machine like aspect of his personality to kind of rationalize. So I found it fascinating. I thought it was very well done. And as I said, I'm not a huge fan of Larry Stroman art, but his little bit of a looser style, I think suits kind of the time frame for that flashback of the 80s for Ninja H, and also kind of the psychological aspect of the story. And it does leave much to be thought about. And I wonder if we might not see Ninja H repaired and show up again in the future. But I thought the story was very well done. And again, I love the fact that in this Ninja K series, they're, you know, we're getting so many different varieties, and they're each, as Jesse said, unique and different. And it allows for a lot of stories. Like I'd love to go back and read some stories of Ninja H, like early on, right after he got the upgrades, to see kind of what he was going through. That would be a compelling story. Plus, it would be, you know, fun, like a big 80s popcorn action movie. So, yeah, I think it's just a really, really well done issue. And it's nice to get back to having Ninjak out there solo. You know, as much as I was impressed by how well Gage wrote Ninjak and made it seem natural for him to be part of a team in the recent arc, we saw that didn't really work real well, ultimately, you know, in the story itself. Because as I've said before, I think Ninjak works best solo, at least for me. What are some of your thoughts about the issue, Jesse?
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. Ninjak does work best alone, or at least with one other really, really good person that suits his style. He's a ninja. It's espionage. It's covert action. He's not supposed to be running around with G-Lad, like clanking an axe and making a lot of noise. That's the opposite of what a ninja does. And, it's good to see a story where psychological warfare is at play, where you have to, think your way through the problem. You know, he uses chemicals to, help, like antipsychotics, because that's the right tool for this job. You know, he uses his words. He uses his reason. He uses, almost a therapy in motion to win this fight. If you want to call it a victory, which, it's debatable, right? And that is what Ninjak does. You know, we saw that way back when, when he was dealing with the Shadow Seven. Same thing, different tools for different enemies, different opponents. You don't use a hammer for every single job. You don't use a screwdriver for every single job. You have to, be able to be versatile. And that's the essence of what Ninjak is. Now, Ninja H, a badass character, bigger than all the other ninjas, probably more of a wrecking ball than all the other ninjas. A tragedy, and that therein lies the complexity of the character. You have a character that actually, from issue, the very first appearance of him right now, is conflicted. He wants to be good, but he's also a killing machine. He's got pain, but he's also relatable, but he's also understandable, and he's menacing. There's really nothing else in the Valiant universe, where you have this cybernetic kind of killing machine. I mean, yeah, I guess you could say Betamax is a cyborg, but that's more like tongue in cheek than anything else. So this character has potential. He's the right age because he's been in cryogenic sleep for 20, 30 years. So he's the right age to move forward with the rest of the Valiant universe. He's different than the rest of them, so he'll be able to fit in. Therein lies a lot of potential. I mean, a lot of the other ninjas, don't get me wrong, were had amazing stories. I mean, I'd go back and read them again and again and again because they were that good. But they're older, and there's limited potential to that. They're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and that shouldn't matter much in comic books, but what I'm saying is that Ninja H is an entirely separate being that has the potential to go forward and do good things. But whether he's a hero or whether he just says screw it and becomes a total villain in the Valiant universe and a real thorn in the side of our heroes. So as a whole, I felt like I was reading a very good issue of JoJo.
Yeah.
It looked that way. There was, it was well written. The artwork didn't really hurt me at all. I like the Brian Wynn is a good pen, a good anchor. Dollhouse is a good colorist. So visually, it wasn't a bad issue. All in all, I'm a two thumbs.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the potential of Ninja H. I think that one danger would be, though, I think I would get tired if I was reading him as a woe is me character who's like wallowing in self-pity, over and over and over, like they turned me into this killing machine, and it caused me to have these mental problems, and I just can't come to terms with it. And to me, that would kind of stagnate the character. I think you totally could introduce him into a team kind of dynamic where he's learning to deal with that. And he would need growth as a character as he learned to deal with that so that it wouldn't become kind of one note. Because again, I think that might be the danger, that it would become one note if you just stuck too much to that. But I think that he does have huge potential. You think of somebody like a War Machine type of character, but with the complexity, because the human side of him is very much human. He expresses a lot of empathy and humanity, and he's somewhat horrified at this inhuman part. And then when he discovers that it's actually a part of him, that's when he tries to destroy himself. So very much a compassionate individual, and yeah, I think potential for a lot more there. I mean, I'd read at this point, I'd read a Ninja H limited series in a heartbeat. I think it was that well done, and I think the character's that compelling. So, all right, is there anything else we want to say about this issue other than you know, great job?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Gilad. I mean, Ninjak has, aside from a few little things here and there, been out of the major Valiant universe. Although, you know, if you look at Harbinger Wars 2, he's got an integral part, but that almost feels like it's removed from the Valiant universe for some reason. So, I don't know. Interesting to see the next chapter and see how that plays out, mainly because, you know, Gilad and Ninjak have a huge history together. They've been together so many times, and that dynamic is always good. So I'm looking forward to what comes next. It doesn't sound like we're going to get more ninjas in the series. I think that Ninja H was pretty much the last of those. We've done A through K now. So I think we have one more. I think we do. I think we have the 90s tech ninja. But anyhow, more to come on that. Looking forward to it all.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I guess it would be Ninja J, I think, is the only one that maybe we haven't seen. So would be interesting. I mean, they pretty much went pretty tech with the 80s Ninjak. So I don't know if maybe the Ninja J might be more like computer enhanced rather than actual like hardware. I mean, it's all speculation at this
point. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh yeah, we'll see. I believe the 90s one is actually a female. If I remember, I think she was kind of a thin I don't know. I want to say punky, but you know. So we'll see. It won't be a variant of Ninja H. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something that they get to do. They get to play with the time period and make these characters very much of their time period. So 90s, you know, think alternative music and grunge, a little emo. So I could definitely see Ninja J being that type of character. So, well, we really want to thank you all for joining us as always. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our ability to reach new listeners, and especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movie and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Next show I'll be at is Palm Springs Comic Con, coming up the last weekend in August, so hope to see you there. Once again, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.